Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? Living with pain can cause depression, overeating, anxiety, loss of sleep, and low quality of life. This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals. Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposome technology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. It contains powerful antioxidant properties and plant-based curcumin used to possibly reduce inflammation and block proteins that trigger swelling and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216. Or go to myfuturefarm.com. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. We're talking about eye health with integrative ophthalmologist Dr. Rudranik Banik. She has a practice here in Manhattan. She is active on social media, on Facebook and Twitter, and has a website at Rudrani Banik MD or Dr. Rudrani Banik?
RudraniBanikMD.com.
MD.com. So, in the news these days, civil disturbances, and I believe it was your medical society, the Ophthalmologists Association, who just issued a timely warning about the hazards of rubber bullets. Who'd have thunk that would become an issue? But here it is. Have you been following that controversy?
Yes. So, the American Academy of Ophthalmology, or AAO, has issued a statement about, you know, not encouraging lawmakers to pass regulations about the use of rubber bullets. So there have been, you know, in the past few weeks, after the protests and so forth, quite a few eye injuries linked to the use of rubber bullets. So what can happen is, you know, the rubber bullet is a very high-velocity projectile. And even though the outside may be rubber, there are usually metal casings inside the bullet. And, you know, if it hits the eye or eye socket, it can cause a tremendous amount of damage. Mm-hmm. And there have been at least over 20 reports across the country of people losing their eye, losing their vision, or rupturing their globe, which is really an emergency. All of these are emergencies, obviously, but it's a surgical emergency due to rubber bullets. So, really a very an important message that the AAO and all ophthalmologists want to get out there is really for law enforcement to stop using these rubber bullets, because they are not benign at all.
So, I mean, the idea is that they mitigate the damage, they're a deterrent, they don't cause penetrating injuries, but boy, when, you know, they're high-velocity projectiles, and when they hit a delicate surface of the body, you know, maybe if they hit you on the gluteus maximus, it's going to sting, but if it hits your eye, it can actually destroy your vision for the rest of your life.
Yes, and I think there was recently a visit to Washington, D.C., where they were trying to encourage lawmakers to pass some regulations. And the other things that are used to kind of manage the protests, for example, tear gas and pepper spray. I mean, all of these can potentially have an impact on our eyes, you know, chemical toxicity and so forth. So not all of them are benign. I understand that they are important and necessary to help manage crowds when they get out of control, but, you know, we always have to consider our entire health and the impact that some of these, may have on our vision. So
another consequence of the pandemic is that we're experiencing lockdown. There's stay-at-home orders. Of course, lots of them are now being lifted, fortunately. But I've heard that there's a relationship between indoor time and close vision tasks and the risk of developing nearsightedness for kids. Is it important for kids to get out, run around, look at horizons and, you know, greenery to make sure that their eyes develop normally?
Yes. And, you know, it is something that is being researched. So, I would just like to start off by explaining that myopia, which is nearsightedness, is truly becoming an epidemic. In certain parts of the world, and mainly in Asia, but also in the U.S., more and more kids are becoming myopic, meaning they can see up close, but they can't see so well far away, and they end up having to wear glasses for distance. And we think that the reason why this epidemic is happening is because when we stay focused for extended periods of time, either on our, you know, at up close reading a book or on a screen or on our phones, our eye muscles constantly have to do a process called accommodation. And this is there's tiny muscles inside the eyes that are responsible for accommodation. When we accommodate for long periods of time, it causes a change in the shape of the eye. It causes a lengthening of the eyeball itself. So a physiologic change, physical change also. And this leads to myopia. And so there are some studies in, out of Asia, mainly Singapore and Taiwan, which have looked at, you know, these increasing epidemic rates of myopia, and have kind of tried to look at the factors. So they found that when children spend more time outdoors, at least 2 hours a day outdoors, they have less rates of progression of myopia than those who spend more time indoors. And so, you know, there is kind of a critical period of eye development, usually up until one's early 20s or so, after which the eye really doesn't change shape too much. But during that period, it really is important to get kids outside. And I know even some schools have implemented, you know, they make sure that children are getting their outdoor time. Even when the weather may be inclement, kids do need to have some sunlight exposure. And we don't know yet what the sunlight factor really has to do with it. We think that it may have to be something to do with UV light, UV exposure, preventing myopia. But of course, everything in moderation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll see what the research ends up showing in terms of, you know, some of the other, there are some other treatments on the horizon, which are somewhat becoming standard of care, which is, you know, if there's progression of myopia, and there is a lot of near work, near, you know, whether on a device or reading and so forth, that drops may be helpful to prevent progression of myopia. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, the outdoor issue is something that we can all easily implement for our younger generation. So,
well, only now important. Is that reemerging as a possibility. Unfortunately, for a lot of kids, there was sort of an enforced stay-at-home edict. And they may have been deprived of the opportunity to get out there. So we'll see. You know, hopefully there aren't unintended consequences of our current strategy for containing COVID-19. What about checkups? Because, you know, a lot of people are reluctant to go to the doctor. You know, I've talked to patients who say, I have this, I have that, but I'm afraid to go to see my doctor. Because I'm concerned. My doctor practices in a hospital. That's a hotbed of COVID-19. What about eye checkups? How frequently should people have eye checkups? And can they safely defer eye checkups, let's say, until they think the second wave has dissipated this fall?
Yeah, so, I mean, that has been an issue for many people who do need more urgent care. For example, people with macular degeneration or diabetic retinopathy, for example, who need to get their treatments, either their injections or their lasers. You know, I think most of my colleagues who are retina specialists who do those treatments, they have been seeing patients very cautiously because, you know, if patients don't get their treatments, then there is a chance that they could lose vision permanently. But for the majority of people, for example, if you're just going in for a glasses check or checkup on your dry eye or cataracts or so forth, telemedicine is usually kind of the fallback option. Of course, it's not ideal because your doctor can't directly examine you. You know, there are some tools or apps that have been developed to check glasses, you know, virtually, for example. I don't quite know yet how reliable they are in terms
of checking. That would be the killer app. You know, you just look into the screen and the app takes some readings and, you know, enables the ophthalmologist to look inside your eye, you know, maybe prescribe some drops you can put in your eye to dilate your, that would be awesome if you could do it all at home.
It would be. And, you know, I think eventually we will have something like that, but our technology is not there yet. So, you know, we'll see what pans out. But I think now that, you know, most offices, at least ophthalmology offices, are open to some, you know, some extent, hopefully we can, we all have a backlog of patients. So we're all trying to get our patients in and get their eye exams taken care of or their surgeries taken care of. So hopefully for most of your listeners in most states, they will have, you know, access again to their eye care provider.
I hear you're working on a book. Tell us about that.
Yes. So this is a work in progress. So my book is called The Macular Degeneration Prevention Protocol. And the reason I decided to write this book is because, you know, we all know that there are great treatments out there for macular degeneration once it affects someone's vision. So once it's gotten to the advanced stage and people have actually had vision loss, there are some amazing treatments, technology, and so forth that has probably in the last 20 years or so that's been developed that has really been breakthroughs. But in terms of prevention, there really is not that much out there. You know, we all know the basics, for example, eat leafy greens, stop smoking, exercise regularly, try to, decrease your risk of obesity and your waist circumference. You know, these are the main things that most of us know. But what I decided to do in my book is I tried to use a lot of integrative principles, and I've done the research behind the principles that have been looked at for macular degeneration, and I've compiled them all into my book in terms of which specific foods have the most nutritional value for macular degeneration. So I'd mentioned earlier that lutein and zeaxanthin are very important pigments. Well, which foods can you get these from, and how often should you be eating them, or how much should you be eating? And then also the other really important nutrients for macular prevention of macular degeneration, which include antioxidants. So, you know, we've all heard of vitamin C and E and A. These are wonderful antioxidants, mm-hmm. but also there are other antioxidants like glutathione and alpha-lipoic acid. And then there are other, other important minerals, for example, like magnesium and molybdenum. It's a tongue twister there. Yeah. But these are also, and selenium, these are also very important in the fight against macular degeneration, botanicals. So in my book, I go through, you know, all the nutritional ways to try to prevent macular degeneration, and then also the lifestyle factors, which many mm-hmm. people may not be as familiar with. So, exercise, you know, there are some studies looking at exercise. So I go through, okay, how much exercise, what are some great options, how often, how many times a week, for how long, what's the duration that's best. And then other things that, again, people may not be as aware of. For example, styles of eating like intermittent fasting. I talk about infrared sauna. I talk about caffeine use and sleep and stress. So there are so many things that come into macular degeneration. It truly is a disease which may have a genetic basis. There are over 50 mm-hmm. genes identified yes. with macular degeneration, but the epigenetic factors play the biggest role. So just because you may have done a genetic test, for example, maybe perhaps you've done 23andMe and it's told you that you have a gene for macular degeneration, it mm-hmm. is not a,
no, it doesn't seal your
guarantee
fate.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly, that you will get the condition. There are things you can do proactively mm-hmm. to prevent against it. So for example, if you maybe have a family member who has it and they've lost vision, or perhaps you've been diagnosed with an early stage of macular degeneration, not the advanced stage, but an early stage. This is really for whom I wrote the book, is to let people know about the research that's been out there that can really help, help them in their daily lives, just to do everything possible to protect their vision.
Well, we'll very much look forward to that book.
I hope that my colleagues as well will find this useful, because a lot of this information, you know, these recommendations are out there, but unfortunately doctors just don't have the time to relay all this information to their patients. So perhaps this can serve as a resource for my patients as well as colleagues in terms of where can you turn to get this information.
Well, I must commend your field of medicine, ophthalmology, because you, among all the specialties, have been some of the first to embrace nutritional strategies to help patients with specific problems. And it makes sense. I wish we would see some of that in other fields like rheumatology and cardiology and so on. I've been more reluctant to sign on to, you know, the obvious research that points to the benefits of certain supplements for these conditions. So kudos to you.
Thank you. And actually, this all stemmed from my personal health journey. If I didn't have, I suffered from chronic migraines, and I tried many medications out there. Nothing was working. And, you know, I had migraine for 2 years. And it wasn't until I made some key nutritional changes and lifestyle changes that I finally started to get better. when I realized the tremendous impact of nutrition and supplementation and lifestyle on my own health, I decided to really make this part of my mission going forward, is to educate my patients about the, you know, what they need to do that they have control over to help get better and be well, you know, long term, and lead by, you know, healthy, you know, lives full of vitality. So,
okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource, with guests like today's guest, Dr. Ruud Rani Bannick. We'll get back to her. You also, you know, amidst your busy schedule, you also devote some time to research. So tell us about your work on a condition called ION using mastic gum. Is that work continuing?
It is. So there are a couple of clinical trials that I was working on with ischemic optic neuropathy, which is AION, which you were alluding to. And so one of the agents we're using is a botanical product called mastica, which is mastic gum. And it's been used in medical circles for mainly GI issues. And Dr. Hoffman, you probably know more about this than I do.
Yeah, Helicobacter. Ulcers.
For H. pylori or for constipation, I mean, irritable bowel and many other GI issues. But researchers in Israel found that this extract of mastic may potentially help regenerate nerves, particularly the optic nerve. So there was a small pilot study done in Israel on 20 patients with ischemic optic neuropathy, some of whom got the study drug and some of whom got placebo. And what they found was that the people who got the study drug actually ended up having improvement in their vision. So I am involved in the second part of the study, which is in the U.S. as well as some other countries, looking at a larger group of patients to see if the same agent in an oral form, so not as a gum form, in a subcutaneous form. So the previous forms on the market are oral forms. So this is a subcutaneous form, injection given twice a week, may help to regenerate the optic nerve. So we have two cohorts for this study. The first cohort has completed recruitment, and we're about to start the second cohort recruiting in July, or as soon as it is safe, you know, given the current pandemic, to bring research patients back in. But I'm really looking forward to this, because this gives patients hope that really didn't exist before. Mm-hmm. And we've all been taught in medical school that, you know, certain nerves just don't have the capacity to regenerate, particularly the brain or spinal cord. Once they're injured, they cannot regenerate. But now we're finding out that that's not necessarily true. You know, there are ways to regenerate nerves in the central nervous system, and the optic nerve is a direct extension of the brain. So it is an extension of the central nervous system. And if we are able to regenerate the optic nerve using a botanical agent, I mean, there's tremendous, I mean, the windows of opportunity open up significantly for brain issue, you know, brain trauma, for example,
stroke,
even spinal cord stroke, spinal cord injuries. So I think this will hopefully be, you know, the tip of the iceberg in terms of really, it's amazing that it happens to be the botanical agent, but using something natural to, you know, help regenerate the body's central nervous system.
Yeah, that is exciting. And so for our listening audience, this condition, relatively uncommon, but not exactly rare. And it's a devastating condition, because you can, you know, one day have perfectly good vision, and all of a sudden, you know, lights out, and you have a devastating injury to your optic nerve, which results in a diminution of vision or complete blindness. And right now, what are the treatments? Steroids? I mean, that kind of the end-all and be-all, right?
Unfortunately, even steroids have, you know, limited effectiveness.
Sure.
Really has not been any significant studies to show true benefit.
Yeah.
Really, we have no option.
That at the condition in hopes that
We have to do something. And, you know, steroids are an easy intervention, but not necessarily useful. And of course, steroids can have side effects. So, we've researched, you know, as a neuro-ophthalmology community, many things have been researched before. Many different types of medications, even surgery, has been tried for this type of ischemic stroke to the optic nerve. Nothing has been proven effective. So, you know, we're very hopeful that we will come, you know, have some scientific data to back a treatment very soon.
Well, we anxiously await the results of that research because it could really be transformative for some people suffering from this condition. That would really be exciting.
Yes. Yeah. And there are some other studies I'm working on, very, very interesting studies. I'm actually doing a gene therapy study for a genetic optic nerve condition called Leber hereditary optic neuropathy, where the patient has a genetic variation. And
it's a mitochondrial disease, isn't it?
It is, yes. It's a mitochondrial disease, which means that it gets passed along the maternal line. Mm-hmm. So basically, a mother will pass along the gene to all of her offspring, and fathers cannot pass it along. Mm-hmm. And it can cause LHON, this Leber hereditary optic neuropathy, can cause really devastating central vision loss. And it tends to happen to young males. It really has a predilection for young males, usually between the ages of 15 to, let's say, 35 or so. Mm-hmm. It can happen to younger people, even older individuals, but mainly men and in that age group. And again, to this, you know, to date, there really has been no proven effective therapy. There is another agent that I've used in another clinical trial called edebenone, which is also a natural, it's a variant of a natural agent. It's a variant of coenzyme Q10, which many people are familiar with coenzyme Q10 for cardiac, you know, health and muscle health and so forth. But, edebenone is a synthetic variant of coenzyme Q10, and it may help with LHON, but gene therapy is actually getting to the root cause of the problem. Mm-hmm. And the way we do this is we actually inject the correct variant of the gene into the patient's eye, and it may sound quite scary, but it's actually a common type of procedure that's done where there's an eye injection, and the correct gene is introduced, and the body hopefully will integrate that gene into the back of the eye, into the retina, and help the retina recover its function. So, it's really cutting edge research, and I'm very excited to, you know, see what the results will show, because this will just open the door to many other conditions which may be amenable to gene therapy treatment, or perhaps later on down the road, even stem cell treatment. So, really exciting times now in ophthalmology, particularly in neuro-ophthalmology.
You bring up an interesting issue, is that, you know, there are a lot of people with devastating conditions, sometimes eye conditions, conditions that cause blindness or threaten blindness, and stem cells are there. They're there as an option. You can go to a foreign country, or you can go to certain clinics in the U.S. That will harvest your stem cells from your bone marrow, and then in some cases from your subcutaneous fat, you know, spin it down in a tube, and then they, you know, give you an infusion of stem cells. Is that ready for prime time with conditions like macular degeneration or other forms of progressive blindness?
Yeah, so I'm really glad you brought this up, because I know many people ask about stem cell therapy for vision loss, and I actually have a section in my book where I talk about this. So you described it perfectly. Stem cells are harvested usually from adipose tissue or fat tissue, sometimes from bone marrow, and injected either into the eye itself or around the eye socket, or sometimes even given intravenously. And, you know, I think it's really too early to know, what exactly the potential benefits are of stem cells. But I can tell you that there have been reports of non-FDA approved centers or research centers in the U.S. even, particularly there's one in Florida that I'm thinking of, where patients with macular degeneration, patients who had significant vision loss from macular degeneration, were given stem cells. into both eyes. So they had stem cell injections bilaterally, and they ended up being completely blind.
Yeah.
So a devastating, devastating side effect or consequence
that's way past the precautionary principle, because, you know, it'd be one thing to do it on one side, you know, in hopes that you could demonstrate some benefit and then go to the next side. But, oh, boy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, but there are centers that are doing, clinical research, which is registered under clinicaltrials.gov. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for example, UC Davis, I know, is doing a study using stem cells for retinal artery stroke. So a little different than the eye stroke we were talking about before. But, you know, so there are definitely centers that are doing these research studies. So if anyone is, you know, seeking out stem cells, first of all, I would say, go to clinicaltrials.gov, make sure that it's a registered study, that it's being monitored and regulated by an IRB and Data Safety Monitoring Committee. And also make sure that you just discuss it with your eye doctor before you choose to do that, because they will give you insight into whether your particular condition may be amenable to stem cells or not, and what the risks and benefits are. Because, of course, you know, our vision is precious. We want to preserve it and restore it if it's lost in any way we can. But you also don't want to do something that will jeopardize your vision permanently.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's very well said. And, you know, I think that really sort of epitomizes your approach, which I admire very much, which is a great deal of openness towards innovative, natural, sometimes unconventional practices, but also with a very, very strong grounding in the science and in, you know, your great training in conventional ophthalmology. So congratulations to you for maintaining a balance, and we look very much forward to your new book, The Macular Degeneration Prevention Protocol. Do I have it right?
That is correct, yes. And if anyone, you know, would like to pre-order, please, you can visit my website and put in your information, and we will keep you on the list. I'll let you know when it's available.
Rudrani Banik, MD, is the website. Rudrani, Banik, correct? Okay. Well, thanks very much for joining us. Really enjoyed talking to you. And all the best to you. We'll have you back on when your book comes out.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Hoffman. It's always a pleasure.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.